What is up? Welcome to the show on an exciting day, because not only is it a Canucks game day, it's Bick Nizar, by the way, but we're bringing back Canucks Central, kind of doing it in a new flavor. So on game days from now on, noon to one on Sportsnet 650, we'll hear from me on Canucks Central. Today, joining us is Mike Santorelli on the line, and we're going to do kind of a game day preview in the middle of the day. And so you get some pre-pregame prior to the pregame show kicking off later today. Irfan Ghaffar also with me today. Irf, what's going on?
What's up? What's going on? Game day.
Can't wait. Mike Santorelli on the line. Mike, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Bick. Looking forward to it.
Oh, this is going to be a blast, man. And, you know, we've been talking to you recently, and we're going to hear from you more often now on game days here on Canucks Central. It's an exciting day, obviously, with the return of Canucks Central. So you can always grab it on your podcast. If you're busy during your noon hour, you can grab it on your local podcatchers. Get you set for a game at 6 o'clock tonight. Early puck drop tonight, not 7 o'clock. So if you're heading to the game, make sure you're there on time. And you're not going to want to miss it, because, to put it lightly, guys, things are tense right now. Things are very, very tense. I'm curious, you know, Irf, we hear yesterday the meeting between ownership and management, and suddenly that you would hope that calms things down internally. Obviously, you want to go on your fact-finding mission and find out why things are going wrong. Does yesterday serve as a moment to, inside the organization at least, to calm things down a bit?
I don't know. I think that obviously when things are going as bad as they are, you want to search for answers. And I think that that's one of the things that the ownership group was trying to get at on Monday and Tuesday, was to trying to get to the root of the problem. And what was the problem? What is the problem? And I think there's a lot of issues right now with this hockey team. And it's evident from the way the guys play on the ice, from the way the game is coached, to the way that the roster is constructed. I think that there's three levels, maybe even four, if we want to go all the way up, just to see if kind of what is wrong with this team. But as an ownership group, you know, you have to do your due diligence. You got to look at every single thing. If they were going to fire someone, they would have already done it by now. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that. I think that, you know, these next few games, I don't think that this team has hit rock bottom yet, which is a scary part, because it's looked so bad for so long. Santo, you can probably jump in on this if you want to, but I don't think that this team has hit that stage where they're like, oh my God, there's nothing to do anymore. I still think that there's more to give, and there is a little bit of life in this team. And maybe you can speak from a player standpoint, and, you know, if you're going through these ruts and things that go bad, you kind of just have to look at yourself in the mirror, and you guys are really the only ones that are going to get yourself through it.
Yeah, absolutely, Irf. I totally agree with you. You know, from a player's perspective and probably a coaching staff perspective as well, like, the answers have to come within for me. You let the stuff behind the scenes kind of play itself out. But at the end of the day, you're the player, you're the team, you're the staff behind the bench. So the answers have to come within, and you got to move forward. You can't look for anyone else to take care of what you need to do. You say many times as a player, you got to just go out there and just do your job to the best of your ability. And you know, that's probably one of the problems right now. Not everyone's going out there, and I'm not sure if they're confused as what their roles are on the team or what their job is. But you know, the players need to figure it out and you know, be ready to play each and every night.
Is that what it looks like, though? Because, look, if you're a fan and we talk about systems and structure and the way things play and how bad the PK is and them not getting shots on the power play, but does that what it looks like right now? Is just guys are maybe a little bit confused in knowing what their roles are?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, you got to come up with an identity. Each player has an identity. Each team has an identity. For me, just kind of watching the last few games, is that I think one area, I know you mentioned about the roster makeup, and one area that kind of jumps out to me is that, you know, the players needing to play harder minutes, and certain types of players. Like, I know in the past, you know, Sutter's out, and I think he's going to help once he gets back. It's nice to see Mott back, and I think guys like that can help provide those stable, hard minutes. And what I mean by hard minutes is plays along the walls, like in the defensive zone. You got to get the puck out along those walls. It's being able to retrieve those pucks back when you have to get the pucks in behind their defense to create offense the hard way, right? It's not always going to be easy in trying to, enter the zone with possession. You know, you do got to sometimes put pucks behind and get to work and play those hard style minutes.
So how tough is it right now? I do want to expand on that in just a bit here, but how tough is it right now knowing the weight of everything? Because this is a very, passionate fan base already, and we'll get into what we're expecting tonight, but, there's this idea that tonight might get a little nasty in the fans. We've been doing shows here for 4 or 5 days, and people have been calling in nonstop, and we've heard the calls, we've seen the texts come in about firing certain people. Do you as a player feel that weight of everything in this situation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just going back on my time, I remember in Toronto when things weren't going well, there were jerseys thrown on the ice, right? And that's something you never want to see as a player. You want to go out there each and every night and do and play for your teammates first and foremost, play for your team, but at the same time you want to go out there and you want to play for the fans, because at the end of the day, the passion of fans is what you want. You're playing in a hot market, you're playing in a Canadian market, and as a player, there's nothing better for me anyhow.
What are we expecting tonight, Irv? Because for me, I'm looking at tonight and I'm thinking it's as much as you want to say, hey, you're back at home, and you and I talked about this on Monday, you're back at home and now your chance to give in this effort to redeem yourself over what's happened for a couple of days here. But at the same time, that's just based on an ideal we think exists. If we're doing it by case-by-case basis and applying it to here, I don't know if that sort of internal constitution exists for this team right now. Because it's been a far departure. We've seen a collective group. It's basically going back to the Vegas series and the bubble. It's a long way from that.
This team's a long way from there.
Yeah, it's a lot of new faces.
You're not going to have, quote-unquote, Papa in the room when Markstrom or Tanev or whoever it is to rub you on your back and pat you on the head and tell you you're great. It's just not going to happen. So I think for this team, it's show some character, show some heart, show some life. You guys are professional athletes. Look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You paid a lot of money to play a game. And I think that for the one thing, it's go out there and you got to prove to not only your fans, I think, at one point, but prove to yourselves that you guys belong there. There's so many games where this team will take to the ice and they look like they don't belong there at all. A guy like Elias Pettersson, he's got 3-6-9 points right now. Like, this guy's a two-point-a-game guy in the NHL, and he just looks lost, right? He's not the only one on this team that's not playing good. Brock Besser's not playing good. Guys like Tanner Pearson and things like that. So I think that we talk so much about it, about getting that extra effort, about getting that. When they laid the egg in Colorado a week ago, we're like, okay, they can't come out that bad against Vegas. And they didn't. They were up 2-0, but they eventually lost the game. They played better. And then in Anaheim, I don't know really what happened there in Anaheim, but you got to have that heart. You got to have that desire, Santo, and you got to play for yourself and the guy standing right next to you, I think.
Absolutely. I think that's just it. I think there has to be that accountability to your game. I think right now I'm just seeing too much cheating on the offense. In the defensive zone, we talk about structure. There has to just be more accountability. Missed assignments, guys cheating on pucks and being on the wrong side of pucks. Like, you're up 2-0 in the Vegas game, for example, and in the D zone, you're on the offensive side of the puck trying to pick off a pass in the middle of the ice, and then you don't get it, and then it ends up on your back of your net. Like, you don't need, at that particular moment in the game, you don't need to be giving up those chances. So for me, items like that are totally fixable, right? If you don't give up those chances, then they're not back in the game. Understand what, I think for me, it's understanding where you're at during the game. Are you down? Are you up? Do you need to be forcing those plays, right? Or do you need to control the game? Getting pucks in deep, playing stop and start hockey, playing in straight lines. I think, that's another thing that I think would help out, not only from your defensive standpoint, but also leading to more offense as well.
What makes you say it's fixable? Is that coaching points, or is that, because we've had this conversation now with fans of, well, the coach isn't getting through and that's not something that's going to work out. Is that just players playing to their talent? Is that a coaching thing? What makes you think it's fixable?
Because it's just you got to be accountable out there. You got to be accountable to yourself. You got accountable to your teammates, and it's just not okay. It's not okay to be on the wrong side of the pucks. It's not okay for guys to be blowing the zone in the in the defensive zone when the puck's not out of your end. And by seeing kind of stuff like that, if you just shore those little items up, they could pay off huge dividends in the end, because you're not giving up those chances. You're not, and even if the other teams don't score, you're not allowing them to create that momentum and sustain pressure in your zone, and you're out of your zone quicker and you're back on offense. And I think for me, in the neutral zone, it's just there's just been too many turnovers, and the puck management needs to be better, and I think that's a start. And if they do that, I think it's an item that can easily be fixed.
A lot of negativity, and rightfully so, around this team, and the sky is falling, and you know, we hear all that, and when it rains, it pours, and blah blah blah. And you've been here, you know this market well, Mike. But I want to focus a little bit on what you like from this team right now. Like, are they doing enough on the ice, game in and game out, that you can say, okay, they can play themselves out of this?
Yeah, I think for me, it was great to see Hoglander over the road trip have some success. You know, it seems like he's back to his form, where he's, you know, he's moving his feet, he's tenacious on pucks, he's very involved on during the games, which has been good. I think I think it's going to be good to have Mott come back. He provides that energy, those hard minutes that we talked about earlier on in the show. So I think guys like that, can players on the team and the team can feed off that kind of energy and get other guys going in the right direction as well.
On Nils Höglander, his sudden growth now 5-on-5 is starting to show up. Five goals, leading the team at 5-on-5 goals, which is fantastic. This is what you want from second-year players, not to have that sophomore slump, but the sophomore bump, and he's doing it right now. It's not necessarily come in the way of, hey, shooting from distance and just winning with pure athletic prowess. He's kind of working hard for his goals. Is that something that's sustainable, or is that something that you look at and say, hey, he can also create more elsewhere on the ice?
Yeah, no, I think it's sustainable. It's not easy to score in the NHL, and I think what he's doing, like I said, he's getting first on the forecheck. He's holding out the pucks. He's using his speed to his advantage, especially down low in the offensive zone. He's evasive with the puck, and a big difference from the start of the year. You could see, and it's good to see him take that step and that stride, and I think that's an area where I think more players can look and see what he's done and implement that into his game. I think that's how you could be very effective in the league, right?
Defensively, I think we can all agree that before the season even started, they probably needed one or two more defensemen on that blue line just to round it all out. I mean, no disrespect to guys like Luke Shen and Brad Hunt and things like that, but you probably needed to shore up your defense a little bit more before heading into this season, Mike. But when you look at the play of Thatcher Demko this season, you know, they went and gave him the big contract in the offseason. People weren't really too sure of the contract, but he's proving every single penny's maybe a little bit less than what he's worth right now.
Yeah, I think, it wasn't too long ago, about a week and a half ago, we were talking about how good and how well he's done and how much he's progressed this season, and he just a little bit of a slump, it's not only him, but I think players go through that, and he's going to be an elite goalie. He has all the tools, and I'm confident that he's going to come back just as strong, and he'll get through this. He's a pro, and you can see him on during the games, and he knows he has to be better. He knows he's not happy with that performance, and he's going to be back and in the right form.
Bick Nizar, Irfan Gafar, also Mike Santorelli here on Canucks Central here on Sportsnet 650. Getting set for a Canucks game day at 6:00 versus the Avalanche. Batch and Hershey, have your call. Pre-game show with Sat Dan Randeep gets going at 4:00. Me and Sat will have your intermissions and post-game all the way through to 10:30 tonight. So we're talking about the Canucks and a whole bunch of other things that need to, improve. And we'll get to more as we continue throughout the hour here. A team that plays a role in what happens tonight is obviously the Colorado Avalanche. Why is this such a difficult game? We know just the natural talent, but what is it that the Avalanche do Mike, that makes this such a tough matchup versus the Canucks?
Well, we talked about earlier how Hoglander, how he's really taken a step. It's the speed, right? When the Avalanche are such, they can hit you at so many different angles, but they're a fast team that has a lot of team speed up front and on the back end. They're big as well. They got Ratanen up top and Landeskog that can play those heavy minutes along the boards, get to the front of the net, score goals in front of those hard, tight areas. But for me, they're just, it's a good test. I mean, they came back from a tough road trip. You play a really good team in Colorado and you come out hard and you play the right way and you get the win. And winning a game against Colorado is gonna do a ton for your psyche as a player and as a team and give you that confidence. So, it's a great test right off the hop for the Canucks here.
Because I look at this, and as much as we're talking about things that need to improve, and absolutely, they're valid and everything, this is such a difficult matchup, Irv. It's not just, the Canucks, they can, square things away themselves, and suddenly they're in this echelon of tiers of teams in the NHL. The Avalanche, at their peak, are amongst, at worst case, fourth in the NHL? Worst case of talent.
I think they're my pick to win the cup.
Yeah, right. Again, I'm being conservative here in saying at worst they're the fourth. The Canucks at their best with healthy are maybe ninth in this scenario. And that's a far cry from where they are right now. So as much as we talk about, hey, they got to improve this, they got to improve this, they got to improve that, and some texters are texting in. It's like, hey, it's all well and good to say, hey, be on the right side of the puck and everything. But the other team's thinking the same thing. And if it becomes a talent competition, Colorado wins out in that scenario.
Yeah, but look, they might, but it's not for not a lack of trying. Like, I think the Vancouver Canucks do have that. They have that talent. I mean, not as good as obviously McKinnon, who's not playing tonight, mm-hmm. Linus Kakarainen. But if Pettersson plays like Elias Pettersson can, that talent level obviously increases a little bit. If Brock Besser plays up to Brock Besser levels, that talent level goes really high. And Quinn Hughes has been playing well, but I mean, the matchup I'm looking forward to tonight, obviously, you talk about all the offense and things like that, but it's Makar versus Hughes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be set up for years and years and years to come down the line. And I think it's fun. It's two young defensemen, and it's two defensemen that kind of change the complexion of the way the game is played from an offensive defenseman standpoint. Look, they're decent in their own end, both of them, obviously. Makar kills penalties. Quinn Hughes doesn't right now, but there may be an opportunity for him to do it. I just like that matchup. I think that they're both absolute studs on the blue line, and the way that they change the game, I think, I mean, among other guys as well, you can put Heiskanen in that category a little bit too, but I think for me, Mike, the way that those two guys have been able to change the way the game is played defensively, and even for an offensive defense and being on the how tall they are or their size, is just crazy to me.
Yeah, I think I just want to add one thing there, guys. I think with a team like Colorado, with the amount of weapons they have offensively, like, I think that's why it's so important to come out and play the right way, be on the right side of pucks, just limit those chances against that'll lead to chances for. Allow them to cheat, right? Allow them to force their offense and force plays, and I think that'll help. Help out with the Canucks offensively. I think that's why it's so important from when you come up as a player and as a staff, a coaching staff, that you come up with the game plan. And I think you want to watch out and keep an eye out for a certain type of guys, but when the team plays as a five-man unit within the structure, within the system, within the game plan, that's what's going to lead to success for me.
So we're talking about those players, Hughes and Makar, and that new generation of D-men. We talked to Scott Niedermayer yesterday and just highlighting, hey, what this wave of D-men looks like right now across the NHL. Let's focus just in Vancouver. Obviously, Quinn Hughes, we know how successful he is. Mobile, makes good decisions, passes the puck, gets away from pressure, and he can make that nice first pass. As a team in general, when you watch them right now, how are they moving the puck from the back end?
Well, for me, I think they need more options. Like, I see a lot of swinging and kind of guys out of position. A defenseman going back for a puck needs to understand what his options are. He needs to know that one guy, your winger or your is on the wall. Your centerman's low and slow in the defensive zone, and maybe your weak side winger slashing. So if there's a scrum in that kind of area, it's off the glass, and we're getting into a foot race trying to win those races up the ice. But they need to be assured that their forwards are in a position to be available for them. There has to be that communication. We talked about faceoffs last week and how it's a five-man job, but really breaking out of your own end is a five-man job too, because all guys need to be on the same page. There has to be that communication, and it has to be an automatic. Guys need to know where they need to be at certain parts of certain scenarios within your zone, right?
So when you talk about hard minutes and playing the right way, in moments like that, puck retrieval for a D-man trying to transition the puck out of the zone, are you seeing enough of that?
Yeah, well, it's not like when I said it, it's not just for one guy, but if they're coming hard on the forecheck, the players that are coming into the defensive zone, they need to help out with tie-ups and skating screens to give that give Quinn Hughes or give Ekman Larson an extra second to make a decision, or maybe it gives them that extra space so they could skate out with that puck and they could get on the offense. So for me, they have to work together. It really is a five-man unit on the ice.
So right now, their overall team play, as far as positionally, you know, when we talk about position play, I think we assume that means defensively. Are they set up well that they're forcing oncoming attacks to go into spaces they don't want to go? But there's also the offensive component to this, of how they're supporting each other in the play. And the point I was making the other day is it looks like they're playing as five individuals, not trying to work together in that whole chemistry. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for me, I agree with that. Especially, you know, we talked about the neutral zone and coming out of the defensive zone. It looks like they're trying to make it always a one-on-one rather than trying to do what the Twins do so well, is they find areas where they isolate certain defenders so they can make it a two-on-one and, you know, work to play together to get up that ice as quick as possible.
Bec Nazar, Irfan Ghaffar here, and Mike Santorelli on Canucks Central. We'll continue previewing the game tonight at 6 o'clock. there's some thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text message inbox about Irf, about Manchester United as well. So we'll get those later on in the game. Later on in the show. A lot of soccer thoughts coming eventually, but we'll do that as the show continues.
Well, I got to go there. It's having such a good day.
No, I'm telling you, the thoughts are coming into the text message inbox right now. But as far as tonight, Canucks going to be playing the Avalanche again, 6 o'clock. If you got thoughts or if you got questions for Mike Santorelli, text them in, 650-650. Donkey the Roofer texts in, wanting to know, Mike, have you ever experienced anything like this before when you played? Just of how grim it looks. And you played in some big markets, Toronto, obviously, Vancouver. Did it ever feel like this to you?
Toronto, we already discussed kind of how it was in Toronto when things weren't going well. Fans were kind of getting a little bit, fed up, and jerseys would be on the ice at the end of the games. And that's something you never want to see. But at the same time with Florida too, I think our first year in Florida before Dale Talon took over, was a bit rough too. We were a younger team and we had a younger guys kind of taking that next step from, the minor leagues to the NHL, and then also some veterans that were kind of at the peak of their careers and going through a bit of a losing streak. And, ultimately it was, it wasn't a successful year. And it's hard. It's hard mentally. Everyone wants to win. I mean, athletes and coaches, and we're all competitive guys and players, and we want to do we want to win games, and we want to win games frequently and consistently. So it definitely wears on you as a player.
You mentioned Toronto. We talk so much about leadership and guys being held accountable in leadership rooms, and one of the leaders in Toronto obviously just retired and was honored by the Leafs. Dion Phaneuf, what was he like as a captain for you?
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, congrats on a fantastic career. But a guy that was a true pro. And what I mean by a true pro is a guy that's one of the first guys in the rink. Constantly looking to work on his game, work on his physique. He's always in the weight room, riding bikes, making sure that he's ready for the upcoming game or upcoming weekend. And when you see your leader doing that just kind of, it shows the young guys kind of what you need to do in order to be successful in the league and to have a successful career and kind of create that culture within the room, right?
Mike Santarelli here on Canuck Central, Bick Nizar and Irfan Ghaffar. We'll go to break and we'll come back and continue the game day preview versus the Colorado Avalanche, Canucks and Avs tonight at 6 o'clock. It's a tense one. We'll see what happens today in the crowd, and we'll continue to dive into this matchup and a couple other things happening around the league here on Canuck Central on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Canucks Central. Yeah, it's back. We're doing it on game days. Bick Nizar with Irfan Ghaffar and Mike Santarelli, former Vancouver Canuck, longtime NHLer, on the line with us as well. If you got thoughts for Mike, send them in, 650-650, into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox, the smart alternative. Visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. So on game days now, you'll hear Canucks Central on Sportsnet 650, and we'll bring in some special guests as a preview of the game. Tonight's game against the Avalanche at 6 o'clock at Rogers Arena. Some thoughts coming into our inbox here, Mike, that people want to ask you some questions. So you played for Trotz in Nashville. What was Trotz like as a coach? And you know, just starting out, what did you learn immediately coming into the NHL?
Yeah, well, with him, you better play the right way because he's going to be on you. He's a very defensively minded coach. You know, at the times, a little bit mentally draining, kind of coming off like being an offensive player in college and in the minors, and then having to come and play his way is a bit challenging. But he does get results, you know, he's a very technical coach. You know, that's the way he wants you to play, and you need to play that way or else you're not going to play. So it's just plain and simple, kind of black and white for him, less gray.
You've had a lot of intimidating coaches in your career. So I'm going to preface this question of, you had Torts in Vancouver, then you went to Toronto and had Carlisle, Nashville Laviolette, then finished with Boudreau in Anaheim. Which of the four gave the most intense speech after a bad period?
Which of the four? I would say, you know what, Torts. But Torts was actually my favorite coach. And the reason why is he's just an honest guy. I mean, it's with him, as long as you're working hard and you're giving it an effort and you're playing the right way and playing hard, and he always gives you that benefit of the doubt as to if there's things that he may question. So he was a fair coach and a coach that I enjoy playing for, and he's so passionate that it rubs off on you and wants you to go out there each and every night and play the right way.
So I just think a lot of people, obviously his time here, and everyone's going to remember the Calgary hallway thing and everything that happened in that game. But it seems like almost he's a coach that guys, if you're on it in his good books or things like that, you want to go to bat for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like I touched on it, he's super passionate, and when you see that out of your leader, it brings out it brings it out in your game, right? And you want to go to bat for him. You want to go out there each and every shift and play the right way and do the little things that you know that are asked of you, so you could have success as a team.
As we look at what's happening here in Vancouver, a lot of people are trying to come up with theories of why things are going wrong, and we'll get into some more of them. But, you know, one of the ones that I don't necessarily agree with is, hey, the coach has lost the room. You know, when a coach's message isn't getting through, what is that like? Have you experienced that? Have you seen that to other players that's saying, hey, that coach isn't connecting with this player? What does that look like?
Yeah, it just kind of looks like, you know, players are off on their own page, and you know, sometimes that's on the players too, right? It has nothing to do with the coach, and that's just the you know, the type of individual they are, and they want to play a certain way, and you know, and they don't want to change. But the way I see things is that you know, Travis, you know, he does a great job. He's a player's coach, and from what I've heard, you know, players love playing for him, and you know, I think he does a real good job of kind of combining the two of being the coach and at the same time understanding his players.
There's a text coming in here from Paul. He wants to know what you think kind of the issue is right now. And I think you've kind of alluded to it a little bit. But the way Paul frames it here is it leadership, is it talent, or is it a coaching issue right now? You've kind of said, hey, they're not working hard enough and playing those hard minutes. Is there a category that falls under for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, and I think you guys could talk about it too, but it's still a young team, right? You see Pettersson, you see Hoglander, Besser. They're still young players, and they still got to grow, and they got to learn how to play the right way. I think as a player breaking into the league your first couple years, like you really need to understand and grasp the concept of play without the puck, because you can't get away with things that you could get away with in other leagues, in the minors or in Europe or in college or in the Western Hockey League or Major Junior, because it is the best league in the world, and that jump from different leagues is once you get to that jump from the into the NHL, it's so massive, and you better be ready to go right off the hop, or else you're kind of going to struggle. So for me, they're still making young mistakes, and I think just by them learning, and that's why I said at the beginning of the show, is I really believe that these items and are fixable, and just shoring up their play away from the puck and their decision making and puck management, I think it'll help them out a ton.
I think what's frustrating, Irf, is a lot of people, and look, Mike's right. There are young players on this team. But we've seen them play for all the things that he's suggesting. We've seen them play, hey, in that bubble of, hey, they were starting to play the right way. And even most of that season, up until the late end, obviously there was a trouble spot there in December, and then they were kind of fading near the end. But we've seen Elias Pettersson play the right way. We've seen Brock Besser play the right way. Even when he wasn't scoring, his playmaking was getting highlighted. His defensive work was getting highlighted. And it looked good. And now we're getting to a stage now, even though it's a young team and you're going to make young mistakes, they're not playing like we think these players should play like.
Well, Pettersson won the Calder. Yeah. Besser was a runner-up for the Calder. Where are those players now? I mean, you obviously have your sophomore slumps and things like that, but you want to mature as a player, and I think at some point it's on you, right? And Elias Pettersson, look, I don't discount that he didn't put in the work this offseason and things like that. And, you know, yeah, he missed a little bit of training camp, but I at this point now, you're 16 games into the season, there's no excuses anymore. I really don't believe that. And it should be like that for everyone in the room, to be completely honest. I mean, look, JT Miller's got 18 points, and he's a guy that people think's body language is bad. He's the only one that's really doing anything. You know, he's the only one that's cheering when they score goals, when they do things, trying to get guys riled up on the bench and in the room. And you look like a guy like Connor Garland. I mean, he's only 25, 26 years old. And he's going to emerge himself as a leader in this room eventually, but he's not going to go in and step on toes, and neither is a guy like OEL. So I feel like for some of these new guys that are coming in, it's a little bit of wait and see and kind of how it's going to go and how they find themselves into this leadership role. But for the guys that are currently on the team, like, It's tough to say, because it's how are you going to get yourself up and ready to play for these games and go in and be able to have your maximum effort every night.
You mentioned Elias Pettersson. He's struggling to create offense, Santo. We know that. And so much has been talked about, hey, confidence and everything. Is that at the core of the issue, or is there something on the ice that you say that you see that, hey, he's not finding space, he's not engineering chances for others? What is at the core of the issue outside of just confidence?
Yeah, I think, but can I add something to this, what you guys are talking about?
Yep.
And I think I'm not trying to make any excuses, but just from a player standpoint, I think one thing I just want to discuss, and I know that we have more time today, but just expectation. I'm not trying to make excuses, but when you kind of come off that, having experienced it, when you come off those big years, rookie of the year or new contract or contract year, you know, we're competitive guys. You're competitive players. You want to take your game to the next level. Like, if you're a 20 goal scorer, you want to take yourself to a 30 goal scorer, right? And I think sometimes, you know, you kind of get lost in, okay, well, now I'm making, I signed a big contract. Now I've got to take my game to the next level. I already had success early on in my career, but now I got to be the upper echelon. Now I got to go from being maybe a point a game guy to a hundred point player. Where now you're in the likes of the Marchands and the McDavids, and you put that pressure on yourself, and then you know, you don't achieve anything, because then you're trying to get to that next step. And I think, you know, that could kind of creep into a player's abilities on the ice too. And when it's your contract year two for Besser, right?
So on that then, because that's the conversation, right? It's what got you to the show should keep you in the show, right? Clearly a team had valued what you had done. And so that mental process, it's obviously difficult, but how do you shut that out? How do you just focus on who you are?
Yeah, that's challenging. And I think, you know, for me too, it was hard for me when I had my 20-goal year in Florida. My mentality was, okay, well, I got to go from 20 to 30. I got to help the team out more, and I want to take my game to the next level. And then you try to do, like, for me anyway, you come back that summer, and you get in your training programs, and you look at areas where in your game where you could evolve and you could get better, and you try to work on those things and those items and those parts of your game. And then at the end of the day, you're not continuing to work on the items that you have success on and what your assets are as a player. Like for me, it was about being a quick player, being tenacious on pucks, holding onto pucks and making plays. And sometimes when you lose sight of that because you think you have to add this element to your game in order to be to get over that hurdle and to become a better player, right?
So what do you see now for Elias Pettersson that you feel like maybe he's trying to add to his game that isn't translating? Because practice is meant to make mistakes. You're meant to try to try new things. And the game is when you try to apply what you're working on. But he's making mistakes on the ice. Is there anything that you think he's trying to evolve into?
Yeah, I think for me is maybe he it looks like he's trying to force plays a little bit too much, trying to thread the needle with his passing and force those seam passes a little too much. I think there's that. I still believe he's a world class player, and I know he'll come out of this and he'll come out of this for the better. But there's that, and then I just don't see maybe the compete level as high as it was when his first couple of years, especially that year he won Rookie of the Year. So it's those two items and then just playing with more speed, right? Like we talked about expectation. Now he's a marked man. No matter, even though he hasn't scored, players from other opposing teams aren't going to take him lightly just because he's in a little bit of a drought here. They still know what he can do. They still know, the league still knows what he's capable of. And, you know, now he just needs to take his game to the next level, and he's going to have to compete harder than he did a year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I just, the compete level for me isn't there. I think that, you know, the lack of, it seemingly night in and night out, it looks like a lack of effort. And I know that this coaching staff, Travis said it yesterday. He goes, he's basically said they try and instill confidence. They talk to Elias Pettersson a lot. I know that they do a lot of video work with Elias Pettersson to try, and they are definitely trying to work with him to try and get him back to that 28-goal guy, back to that 27-goal guy, a guy that got, you know, 18 points in that playoff bubble. Like, he definitely is that player. He's drafted fifth overall for a reason. He won the Calder Trophy. He's a star in this league when he's on. It's just a point of him trying to find that confidence to get back on. So my question to you, Mike, would be, when you lose that confidence, or maybe a little bit of maybe your mojo a little bit as a player, how do you get it back?
Like, as a scorer, I think the first thing you got to put points aside, put goals, put assists, put all that away. And I think for me, it's being able to create those chances. At the end of the day, if the coaching staff posts on the board chances for, chances against, I want, as an offensive guy, I want to see my name on that chances for as much as possible, because then you know you're trending in the right direction, whether that be a primary A scoring chance or a secondary chance. The more you're involved at that side of the game, eventually things are going to turn, and eventually things are going to, you're going to start getting points, you're going to start getting goals. Maybe you don't deserve to get, but you're getting that, you're going to get them because you're trending in that way. And as a player, it's all about feeling good. You're also going to feel good that, hey, I'm creating that chance, or in the first period I created 3 or 4 scoring chances. Now going into the second period, you have that confidence back. Or at the end of the game, you might not have scored, but you feel good inside because you played your game. You created those opportunities. And then next game, you know, it just leads you into the next game. And then you're going, like I said, in the right direction. And you'll start having some success that way.
Yeah, it's wild because right now Pettersson's tied for 6th in the league in cycle chances with 28. But like, other than that, you look at it, really, he's just not around. And I think that that's one of the craziest thing where he actually is, like you mentioned, creating those chances and putting himself in the proper positions, but maybe things aren't going in. And maybe it's one of those things where, you know, you get an empty net goal and you see the puck just go into the net once and the kind of floodgates open a little bit. Like, I remember, look, I'm not going to compare this to like a couple years ago where I remember Louis wasn't scoring for a long time. Look, I know. He got an empty net goal, but then he went like four straight games with a goal.
I thought maybe you were going to say like Crosby or something like that.
No. I went to Louis Erickson. But no, I mean, look, sometimes you just got to see the puck go in the net.
Sure.
Whether it goes, maybe it goes off your shin pad, off your shoulder, off your helmet. I mean, as long as it goes in. And I think that that's one of the biggest things for maybe Elias Pettersson is just to watch the puck go in the net off his stick at some point.
He's not that far removed from a goal.
I know.
It was on the ninth. And we were having these conversations of, oh, this is a guy that's struggling. He recently scored a goal. And I'm curious, Mike, too, because when we talk about other players that have struggles and some dips here, Pettersson's not necessarily a physically dominant player. And I don't mean strength. I don't mean, you know, knocking guys off the puck. Just natural physical attributes. He's not necessarily the fastest guy, but he wins kind of with his mind. And you mentioned, hey, the league kind of catching up to him. Is he going to have to evolve his style of play like another layer to kind of create space for himself?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like I said, everyone knows what he can do. The whole league isn't going to forget what he can do. And, you know, I think, you know, just getting more involved, getting into the battle more, drawing guys to him. He's so evasive with the puck, right? And I think, and it's up to the players. You know, we talk about play without the puck. It's up to the players around him too to help him and support him, right? If he's drawing two checks, then someone better find a way to get open because he has those abilities to find guys and you know, draw duplication on the coverage. So you know, I think you know, it's amongst his linemates too to find those areas and you know, work together in order to have some success as a line and as a power play unit or whatever that may be. Right?
Is there a player right now on the roster that you would feel like suitably slide next to him outside of the guys that are playing with him right now and Miller and Brock?
Yeah, just maybe, yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, I think, yeah, I think maybe Höglander, because like, I think that line just needs some more speed, personally. I like playing a style of game where there's tons of pace, tons of tempo. I think, you know, Besser and Miller kind of provide that same kind of attribute where they're stronger, stockier guys, able to hold on to pucks. But I think it might be missing just a little bit of tempo and a little bit of speed right now.
Bick Nizar, Irfan Gafar here on Canucks Central, also talking to Mike Santorelli on Canucks Central. We'll do this on game days from now on as we preview a game midday pregame show, and then we'll get back to our regular show. And then the real pregame show starts 2 hours before puck drop, 6 o'clock puck drop tonight versus the Colorado Avalanche. I want to get to a couple more things. We touched on, hey, Thatcher Demko, and you know, he's the goaltending to me hasn't been an issue. The goaltending has... Both Demko and Halak have been full value. And to be honest, Demko has been the best player this season, and they're conceding a lot of goals. It's a real problem, obviously. Mike, what are you seeing of how they're defending recently versus how they were defending early on in the season?
Yeah, kind of. You know, I thought they started off, they weren't defending real well. Then they kind of shorted up a little bit. And now the last three games where they've kind of given up all those goals, you know, just cheating on the offense a little bit too much, missing coverage, letting guys kind of, you know, coming into D-zone coverage. We talked about a few weeks ago, stopping in D-zone coverage, letting everything sort itself out. You know, we talked about the PK, just kind of watching, kind of, you know, unsure what to do, kind of, I use the term, you know, feet are kind of in the training tracks, not moving your feet back and collapsing on the PK when the puck goes low and there's a shot on net. the forwards have to collapse to get that loose change. I know Anaheim scored a goal like that the other night. I think Zegers' second goal. But just playing more assertive and trusting your instincts and being quicker to those loose pucks, quicker to close in the defensive zone, and just not letting guys get by you, doing whatever it takes to not letting getting pucks on the wrong side of you.
For me, it just goes back to, you know, you mentioned guys just kind of looking around and not knowing where they're going or what they're doing. I know it could be systems at some point, but is it just because there are a lot of new guys on this defense, or is it just maybe because this defense, other than a couple of players, you know, isn't that talented?
Well, for me, being on the wrong side of the puck, sometimes, like, that's just cheating to offense. You know, when you see that, it kind of just looks a bit selfish, to be honest, right? But then there's another aspect of it, kind of unsure, maybe what to do, or maybe just being young, or not knowing exactly what your assignment is, because sometimes in defensive zone coverage, there's those gray areas where you don't know whether you're supposed to take that assignment, or your partner's supposed to take that assignment, or the winger. So that kind of stuff kind of plays out during a game. But in order to correct that, there has to be that you know, good communication amongst all five guys on the ice, and that just kind of clarifies everything and what to do. So guys aren't unsure on what their assignment should be.
So on cheating to offense, because we do know, like, this team wants to play very high pressure, high tempo. And striking that balance of what you're talking about of using defense to create offense and maybe they're cheating a bit too much, is that part and parcel to the overall tempo that the team is trying to play at? If they play to a slower tempo and maybe a bit to more of their personnel or at least the attributes that the team have, would that help remedy the situation?
Well, I think what would help remedy the situation, Bick, is just playing in straight lines, right? Stop and start hockey. You know, like if there's a loose puck, you're stopping on pucks. You're not circling around it. I know back when, you know, I first started and you guys brought up Barry Trotz and their system is that was one part of my game that they didn't really trust me in was my defensive zone coverage, and a lot of that had to do with not stopping on pucks and not stopping into D zone coverage and just kind of doing these big loops and you know, spending a lot of time watching video, kind of shoring up my game, because you need to play that way in order to stay in the league. Like, I'm sure you guys have talked about, you've heard about it's hard to make the NHL, but it's harder to even stay in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And just being that a player where we talked about playing hard minutes, just playing the right way, that's going to increase your ability to stay in the league longer. So you do need to learn that kind of stuff, and that's why I alluded to earlier, is that maybe that's why they're having some problems right here, because they're still going through those growing stages. There's still a lot of young players on that team, right?
Well, Santo, appreciate it. We'll connect soon enough. I'm excited to do this moving forward throughout the course of what is a lot more games to go in the season. We'll see if they can rebound starting tonight versus the Colorado Avalanche. We'll let you go, man. Thank you very much, and looking forward to next time.
Ciao, Santo.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
That is Mike Santorelli here on Canucks Central. We'll be back, and we'll kick off Sportsnet today on a Canucks game day. Bick Nizar, Irfan Ghaffar, here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.